Today I want to continue on the 2020 vision series. You know, people always talk about if you talk about your eyes, they talk about 2020 vision, and that's supposed to be the perfect vision. I understand, but we need to have a vision for our own lives. You know, goals, and also God involved. You know, too many people, in fact, it's said that the average person just drifts along. Whatever happens, happens. Whatever comes, comes. Whatever goes, goes. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Well, I got four people that's seen somebody. Or maybe at one time you were in that position. I want to look at some verses of scripture in Habakkuk, Habakkuk. If you're trying to find it, it's over there. It's one of the minor prophets. It's pretty close to the end of the Old Testament. In fact, I think it's about five books from the end of the Old Testament. So if that'll help you, okay. Now, if you got your device, you can just punch up and it'll just come down. And while y'all are looking for that, my connection team just reminded me that I did not recognize our first-time visitors today. Connection team, get in the aisle. If you happen to be a first-time guest with us, hey, pastors make mistakes too, but we just correct them. If you're a first-time visitor with us, we want to connect with you. So would you please raise your hand, and as these fine people pass down the aisle, they'll give you some information. There's something there we want you to fill out. There's one way in the back there on that side back there. And if you'll fill that out, they'll come and get that from you, and they're going to come and get you at the end of the service and take you to get a special gift. We're so glad to have you with us today. We're just living for God around here, trying to bring hope, help, and healing to the world that we live in. Amen? So, come on, and if you're looking for a church home, why don't we say church? Welcome home. You found it right here. Just come on and be a part of us. Amen. Now, has everybody found Habakkuk? All right. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on the tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Then the NLT says it like this. Then the Lord said to me, write the answer plainly on the tablet so that the runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end. It will be fulfilled. If it is slow, or if it seems slow in coming, wait patiently for it. It will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Now, this is Habakkuk, the prophet, talking primarily to the people of Judah and Israel, because God was dealing with them at that time. Judah, sometimes we refer to the whole thing as Judah, sometimes we refer to it to Israel. Then you get to the point where 10 of the tribes seem to be lost. They call them the lost tribes. And then you got Judah and Benjamin that they're dealing with. So that's all in you study all that when you're studying in Bible school. So he's dealing with these people. Now, why is he dealing with them? Because they have been in disobedience, and he is telling them to turn from the obedience and follow him. And because of their refusal to repent, this is talking about the armies of the Chaldeans that would come and invade them at some point, and it happened at an appointed time. That's what the word says. But also at an appointed time, they would return victorious. Now, the God's word reveals here that this vision was spoken for the future of Israel. God assures Habakkuk that his word will certainly happen. Now, there are two things that he said here that are important. Write down the vision so you'll remember it. Make it clear so it's easy for everyone to understand it. Now, we need to hear through the God's word and prayer what the Lord wants for us. Now, when I start talking like this, everybody thinks about ministry. It has nothing to do with ministry, because I'm talking about this type of ministry up here. It does have to. Everybody's a minister. Everybody's ministering for God somewhere in some place doing something. But the people I'm going to read about in a few minutes, none of them was what was considered the priests back in that time or the ministers. They were all just natural people living their natural life and then doing something for God. So I want you to get a hold of that. You see, we all go through tough times, but it's having a vision or goals for the future that helps us make it through. You know, if you're running a race in track, yes, your goal is the finish line, but your focus is on each step that you take, because that's what gets you to the finish line. Too many people are focused way out here. That's the goal. That's where you want to go. But you got to stay, their goal is out there, but you got to stay focused on one step at a time to get to there. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. Now, you see, as I'm speaking on this 2020 vision, I want you to understand that I am talking about natural and spiritual at the same time. Okay? Anybody ever heard of a man by the name of George Washington Carver? I think we all have. Great man. He was an American scientist, a black man that was born in slavery and survived being kidnapped as a little boy, and then during the Civil War, and then later struggled to obtain an education as a free man. He made this statement: where there is no vision, there is no hope. Now, he had vision to help his fellow man, and he did a fantastic job of doing it. During his career of teaching and research at Tuskegee University, he developed new products derived from peanuts and sweet potatoes and soybeans, which helped to improve the agriculture opportunities in the South. It could be said that most of the agricultural that goes on down in the South go back to how George Washington Carver helped to discover how to do so many things with these products, and then how to effectively grow them and treat the soil and so forth and so on. If you've never studied about George Washington Carver, hey, go study him. It's an interesting study. The man endured a lot, but he, because he had some goals and a vision, he was able to accomplish things that are helping us today. And everybody said amen. Are you still there, or y'all gone home? You know, we need to hear from God so that we get correct vision for our lives in general and our spiritual lives. Proverbs 29:18, we all know this. Without a vision, people perish. NLT says it. When people don't accept divine guidance, they run wild. These verse shows us that Israel needed to hear from God so they could walk with God. Those are back the words from Habakkuk there. You know, we need to hear from God. His plans will lead us into experiencing the highest and the best for our lives. I'm talking about sport, both spiritually and naturally. Come on now. Some people only have short-term vision. They can't see beyond, somebody said they can't see beyond the end of their nose. You know, many focus on achieving what people call the so-called American dream. Nice house, great job, kids, retire on a pension. However, if you hear from God, he might lead you to bigger things than that. You know, when we first started out, I mean, I knew God wanted me to go into ministry, and so we had an idea if we ever could pastor a church about 300, 350, and that was a big church back in our day, and maybe have a Cadillac car and go to Hawaii once. Man, we've accomplished. Well, as I began to just follow God, it's been a whole lot greater than that. I didn't say it didn't have the rough spots and the tough, but we made it. See, God wants to show us that we can have success in this world and also success in the spiritual realm. Now, I want you to look at Moses. That's why I said in the beginning, I'm going to look at some people in the Bible. They weren't considered priests. They weren't considered ministers. They were just normal people living their lives, doing something for God. Moses had it made. I mean, he grew up in the Pharaoh's palace. I mean, he enjoyed the privileges of being and adopted and being in the royal family. He was educated in the best that could happen at that time. But God had more for him. He heard from God in that burning bush out there being a sheep herder. And he came back and delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage. The reason I'm saying this, because so many times you start talking about the future, everybody wants to zero in on preaching or standing on a platform ministry. No, Moses, I don't know that there's ever a record anywhere of him ever preaching to anybody. There's a record of him following God. Hello, come on now. His brother Aaron was the priest. He was the one that spoke, you know. Now, today, some people need to lift their sights higher than they got them. Abraham. You ever read anywhere in the Bible where Abraham ever preached? Come on now, don't look at me like I'm crazy. He didn't. He followed God, though. And when he did, God directed him. He did other things. Now, here he spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12. And he said, the Lord said to Abram. See, that was his name to start with before he changed to Abraham. Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family. Go to the land I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. What God told Abraham enabled him to see beyond that which he knew was possible. You know, God wants to lead, guide, and direct all of us into different areas. He does not need everybody standing on a platform preaching, but he does need you ministering in the workplace. He does need you ministering in the medical place. He does need you ministering in the state house and even in the national state, a national house. Amen. You see, as you begin to see this, it's the fact that if you'll just began to follow God and let God lead you and direct you. Come on now. You see, many times God will use you in the areas that you are talented in the natural. And if you'll follow him, he'll bless you through that. And if you follow him spiritually, you will be successful in both areas. See, you know, some people have natural leadership ability. Some don't. Some people are fantastic when it comes to creativity. Man, they can create all kinds of things. See, we need that. I mean, at the ministry here, we need people that can work in regular jobs, but then follow God too, because God can. I'm trying to help you today to see that, hey, get your head off of the idea that you, to be successful with God, you got to be on a platform. God may give you another kind of platform. Hello. You know, I heard one of the coaches of one of the national teams, after they won the semis, giving glory to God. Hello. Anybody that watch football see that? I've seen many of the players. Hey, they have a platform to say something to reach people's hearts that you or I never have. I'm a natural person. Some people just look at me sometimes just as, I'm a natural person. I have natural ideas. I love certain things. I get involved in certain things. But the Lord has given me a platform in the racing community where I go, I pray at the, if they find out I'm in the pits at some of the races with Cameron, Craig's sitting right there, and they'll tell you, they'll come down and they'll get me, or they'll come and tell him and our Cameron, and they'll come and find me and say, hey, they want you in the press box. They want you to pray. Come on now. But you see, and I've had an opportunity to minister to a lot of people that has nothing to do with me being on a platform. What am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can be a minister for the Lord. So get your eyes off of this and begin to realize that God has a plan with you wherever you are. You know, he gives you an opportunity. You just don't go pushing something down somebody's throat, but because of where you are, eventually they'll ask you a question and you'll be able to minister. Come on. You know, what God told Abraham, told him he was able to see beyond right here. He saw out yonder. He saw beyond that. See, in Genesis 13:14, it says, after Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abraham, look as far as you can see in every direction, north, south, east, west. I'll give you all the land as far as you can see, you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I will give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I'm giving it to you. So Abram moved his camp to Hebron and settled near the oak grove belonging to Mamre, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Now, first of all, he told him, look and see. See, you need to look and see your possibilities. And then he moved. Once you see something, you got to move. Oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. There are too many people that are waiting, but God's waiting on you. Remember, he said, what you put your hand to, I'll prosper. Not when you sit there and wait and I'll move. You got to move. My dad used to say sometimes, you got to go into the city before you learn what to do. That went over good, didn't it? Now, look at here. Abraham didn't wander around aimlessly. He had been given a vision or a goal. Some people call it a goal. Some people call it a vision or a goal. And that's what moved him, and that's where he moved. See, he wants you to see that you've got a future. We cannot walk into the future unless we have a vision or a goal. You know, some people might call it. See, there's some people that have no vision. They're just stumbling around in life. Whenever they could be more successful if they had a goal in mind. When God speaks to us, we should see that where he wants us to go. Now, let's look at Joseph. Now, I'm using people in the Word of God that not preachers. Joseph, I don't see anywhere where Joseph ever preached to anybody. Have you read the story of Joseph? I never saw him preaching to anybody. I saw him using his talents that God gave him to be able to be in charge of all of the food in Egypt and develop a plan whereby they didn't starve to death when the famine come. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. It all started out when he was a teenager. One night Joseph had a dream, Genesis 37:5. One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around, bowed down before him. His brother responded, "So you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you'll reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and they the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream. He told his brothers, "Listen, had another dream," he said. "The sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed down before me." See, he had 11 brothers. This time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers, but his father scolded him. "What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, the father wondered what the dreams meant. Even though he scolded him, he said, "Wait a minute, something's here." Now, as he received all of these dreams and, or you might, his vision, you know, I think maybe that's what helped keep him going through his tough times. His family didn't understand him, you know. Nevertheless, he believed them. They didn't believe him. So his brothers betrayed him, sold him into slavery. He got falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He went to prison. But he maintained his vision. Finally, the day came when Pharaoh found out that he was interpreting dreams, and he called him up to the palace to interpret a dream. He did. And then Pharaoh appointed him as governor of Egypt underneath him. He had charge of everything, the national food program. When the famine came, he was the one that oversaw the distribution of the food. And when the famine came, here came his brothers. And they did bow down to him. They didn't know who he was. He knew them. They didn't know him. It's the greatest story of forgiveness that you can ever read in the Bible. If you ever have a chance with Sight and Sound, they got the main theaters in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, then they got one in Branson. I saw Joseph 3 times. It is the greatest. Any of you see Joseph up there? Did not you think it was one of the greatest portrayals of forgiveness that you've ever seen? I mean, I knew what the Bible said, but they embellish it a little bit. It's a play written on that Bible story. But man, does it make it come alive. I'll tell you what, I saw it 3 times and cried all 3 times at the end of it. But you see, he never lost sight of his vision. It was 30 years later that that came to pass. It took Abraham 25 years to begin to see what God had told him. It was a decade before it ever happened for Joseph. He was that all happened when he was in, you know, young, when he had the visions, happened when he was a teenager. Then he went in there, and then it was a decade before he ever got called up to the palace. You see, when you begin to walk your road of life with God, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have some tough times. Some people, if they hit a tough time, they get upset. They can't endure. You got to learn how to endure. You got to see the vision before it can happen. You got to see the goal before it can ever come accomplished. Charlie's sitting back there. He built this building, but he and I and Lynette and others, all of Ross McCready, we went over and drew plan after plan after plan after plan, or actually rough drawings. We didn't do plans, just a rough drawing. Till we finally saw it on paper what we wanted. Now, I could talk to people about it. Charlie could talk to people about it. But they didn't see it. Why? Because it was our vision. It was our goal. We saw it up here. We saw this before when it was just a piece of ground and they started digging up the dirt. Am I right, Brother Charlie? He's waving at me. Yeah. I envisioned this. I saw it. You know, you have to see things in your mind before you can ever make them happen. Every inventor has saw it in his dreams, in his mind, before it ever became a reality. He had a vision. The enemy comes along to give you trouble to try to steal that vision. Come on. He will endeavor to do something to try to hinder it. One of the things he did when we were here, one thing was that ditch over there on that side. Before we could do anything, we had to spend about $300,000 to have all of this junk done, these rain, these 100-year rains, way back up on there, and they had to do it, come down and go on the other side. Then they told us how deep that ditch had to be and how wide, and had to have concrete in the bottom, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's just one. But see, hey, didn't dim my vision. Okay, that's a problem to deal with. This road out here and that intersection, city managers want us to spend $3 million to build the road out there when we already knew that it was in the plans of the city to do it. In fact, one of the city people told us that. I had to go down with our people. We went down, we met, and we got that road out there. But you see, I saw it happening before it ever happened. I only used those two things. There was other things in building this building that you had to have a vision for it. Hey, somebody back there, can y'all let that globe down? That'll be a really one, a good one. That globe right there, I told them what I wanted. I saw it. They said, well, I don't know whether we can, I don't think I can be done. I said, why not? I saw the thing. And it's coming down slow. I said, I know that to have elevators and everything else that are on telescoping deals, and I've seen them. I said, why can't we build something, make a globe, and do that? There it is. But I saw it before anybody else did. Isn't that right, Charlie? Charlie was back there when I... But it happened. We had to build a frame out of rebar and then put wire around it and then put fiberglass around it and mold it. And then we had to have a painter to paint all of that. Hello? But you see, there it is. I saw it because it was in my vision. They ain't got nothing to do with preaching. Come on now. What I'm trying to get over to you today is that the visions that you have and stuff and God will give you about things, it don't have to be about preaching. Too many people got the idea, you start talking about God, give me a vision, it's going to be to preach somewhere or to sing somewhere. No. It's to build churches all over the world. That's what Charlie's doing now. Where did he get that vision? When he was working here building this one, he began to see something. Come on now. I'm using people in our own congregation because I know them. My own son-in-law had a vision. He's making it come to into fruition by building houses and doing stuff in real estate. But he saw a vision of it before it's ever started happening. Come on. A lot of people have a vision of something before it ever happens. The computer was a vision in somebody's head before it ever became a reality. Am I getting anything across to you today? See, we need to take heart from these biblical examples that we have had. And see that these people heard from God about something. Didn't have anything to do with preaching. And I keep nailing that down because through all the years in ministry, everybody thinks when you start talking about getting a vision from God, you got to get a vision for ministry. Thank God we have a vision for ministry. Hello? But that's what I'm supposed to do. All of you now, some of you are just helpers to help my vision. Some of you have your own vision to do what you do. Now, I hope you don't mind me, but Colonel Morin over here, he had a vision of flying jet airplanes, fighter jets. Is that not correct? Did it happen? But not because you just walked in and said, I want to be a fighter pilot. He had to make the vision come true. Come on now. I preached a sermon in 1980. We're going to have Bible schools all over the world. I had the vision for it. Nobody else really saw it. But it took 20 years, but it happened. Now, why did I bring that back in? Because when you begin to have vision, look at Abraham, look at Joseph. Look at Moses. They all had a vision, but it took them a number of years for it to all come into fruition. I want you to realize you follow God, he brings you there. Come on. Hear what God is leading you into. We have people in this congregation that started out working down here just as a carpenter. Now they have their own framing business. Others doing drywall. Greg Wicks, he's one of our members here at this church. Where is Greg? There's Greg, young man, grew up in this church. He started out down there just as a plumber's helping at plumbing. Went on and went on from there. And now he has Wicks plumbing business. But he had a vision for it as he was doing something down here. Hey, and yet he's still involved in the church, has been involved in this church since he was a teenager. Him and his wife, Christy, there she grew up in the church too. But you see, it didn't start just because, well, I believe I won't be a plumber. No, he had a vision of doing something. Get the vision and go after it. Come on. Somebody said, well, I'm too old. No, you're not. I have seen many, many, many people that have retired from their job that come to Rhema, refire, and go out and start working in the church, working and doing another job, working in the church. Hey, come on now. Anybody getting anything? Have I made myself clear today? Hey, you got to see it before it can happen. Heavenly Father, I just talked to these people for a few minutes today, stirring up their pure minds about the fact that you have a vision for them to accomplish many, many things. And we're never too old and we're never too young to accomplish the job that you have us to own. I thank you for it. Father, I pray that each individual would have gotten a hold of something today. And may they begin to make it happen in their life. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Glory to God.